been a while, actually, that I met Pastor Paul. I was at a conference, I think in 2001, possibly 2001 or two, that I came over to a conference where Pastor Paul was speaking as well. And actually, the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that conference very clearly. You should come to London and learn some better English. So I wanted to come for 5 months. Ended up 5.5 years being here. So it's been quite a journey, but really a good one. It's the best time of my life, honestly. It was such a forming season for me, being in London. You know, I worked in Brentford. There is a Greggs, so that was part of my forming stage. Cheese and onion pasties, I still love it. Had it for every lunchtime, pretty much. I brought you a couple of pictures. Have you got those pictures up? Just pictures of my family, just that you know. Here we go, that's my wife, Juana. I met her on a missions trip in Romania, and I actually brought her then to England. We got married in London, so good times. That's our little one, that's Lucas. Next picture, these are my three kids. Yanis, he was actually born in Berlin. He's a Berliner, because we planted a church there. After from London, we were sent to Berlin, and it was very boring, a church plant, you know, there's nothing to do. So we conceived him. And on the right, that's Sarah. He's a cutie, and Lucas. Yes, next picture. This is our church. This is where Equipus Zurich is meeting. We're really blessed. So Pastor Paul mentioned about my old pastor. Before I moved to London, actually, he took over. That's the Apostolic Church in Zurich. He took it on. And I'll share more of the story later on. This is where we meet. And this is just, we do Wednesday is our volunteer day. So we get all the volunteers to church and work at the office. And if you don't have a Mac, you're not part of our church. Just that's the way it is. If you don't bring a Mac, you have to work underneath the table. That's the only rule. Otherwise, no, just kidding. But it's just funny. All use Macs. So yes, that's it. Good stuff. Hey, I want to take you into a scripture, which is a bit unusual, but I'm sure you'll be blessed today with that scripture. And if you got a Bible, just open it on page 236. Or go to Judges 3, verse 31. I think you have it as well. Hey, we'll put it up. You got it? I'll read it in the meantime. If you have it, Judges 3, verse 31. It's a bit unusual scripture, but you will love it. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Hallelujah. Awesome scripture. I want to read it one more time because I read it wrong. I'm going to read it as I think it is supposed to be read when Samuel the prophet, he wrote the book of Judges, when he wrote it, and he wrote it like that. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He, too, saved Israel. Flippin' heck. Unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable, actually, that this guy made it into the Word of God. It's a crazy scripture. It's unbelievable. You know why it's unbelievable? Because Samuel knew the history of Israel and the first judge of Israel. It was a guy called Othniel. And Othniel, it's written about him being filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he went to war, defeated the enemy, and after being suppressed for a long time, he brought peace to Israel for 40 years. No wonder, you know, if you're with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're capable to do amazing things which are beyond your own strength. So when Samuel wrote that down, he wasn't surprised at all. Then the next one was called Ehud. Ehud. He was a very clever guy, a very clever judge. In fact, he was a left-handed guy. So he realized, I could trick the Moabite king or his wardens, his guards, and he could hide his sword on the left side and on the right side, because usually when you're right-handed, you would hide your weapons on the, or carry them on the left side. So he put it on the right side. He could trick the guards. They couldn't find the weapon on his left side. He got into the tent of the Moabite king, Eglon, and he could kill him. And he brought peace to Israel after being suppressed for 18 years. No wonder if you're a very clever guy. You know, if you got a strategy, if you know how to move, you can do great things. So Samuel wasn't surprised about that. Next one was Deborah. Deborah, amazing leader. She, no wonder if you have leadership on your life, then you can move something. She was clever in delegating. She had people who believed in her. No wonder if you have great people believing in your vision, in your leadership, that you can achieve something great for God. So when Samuel was writing about Deborah, he wasn't surprised. And the next one was Gideon. Man, Gideon, he had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. And no wonder, man, if I had such an incredible encounter with the angel of the Lord, I would go for it. I wouldn't. It wouldn't be surprising that I would do something amazing for God. Even that God gave him a confirmation, you know, a guarantee even, and a clear plan how to defeat the Midianites. If I had that, it wouldn't be surprising that I would do something incredible for God. And then another judge was Samson. Man, the hand of God was on his life right from birth. It was so clear that this is a special child. Man, he was anointed. Man, if I feel that anointing like Samson would, it would be no wonder that I would do something incredible. He had outstanding strength. He was outstanding. But after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He, too, saved Israel. Flippin' heck. How did he make it? I want to talk to you about not the topic of this message is not violence is a solution. It's not. But I gave it the title that diligence is an amazing way to victory. Because it takes something to hit 600 times with a stick. It's pretty surprising. It's an amazing way to victory. Actually, the Italian version says, he, too, saved Israel. Mamma mia. The NAG, that's the new Ali G version, says, he, too, saved Israel. Booyah kasha. The NFV version says, then that's the new French version, he, too, saved Israel. Suit alors, and the ASV, that's the Arnold Schwarzenegger version, says, auch errettete Israel, das ist der Wahnsinn. It's just, it's incredible. You know, if I would bake a cake called diligence, I would use the following ingredients. Determination, discipline, long-suffering, excellence, perseverance, persistence, patience, consistency, endurance, zeal. And you know what I love about this guy, Shamgar? There's nothing written about God. There's nothing written about this amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I'm totally Pentecostal. I love the Holy Spirit stuff. You know, I really do. But I was wondering why this guy made it into the Word of God. And I reckon diligence is an incredible expression of faith. And without faith, we cannot please God. So I want to take you a bit on a journey this morning of explaining why we should be diligent, why we should, because it's an expression of persistent faith. Amen? Amen. You understand my accent? You're getting used to it? All right. Cool. My first point is diligence is an amazing way, is an amazing way to compensate your insufficiency. You can show the next slide. It's an amazing way to compensate your insufficiency. You know, here we got just a prop An ox goad. You got to know. An ox goad. It was like a stout stick with a bronze tip that you would use for prodding animals. And Shamgar lived in a time where actually the neighboring country, the Philistines, they disarmed their neighboring countries. So here we go. Shamgar had to go to war. He just had enough of the suppression of the enemies, of the Philistines. And all he had was a stout stick, an ox goat. He didn't have any weapons. And you know, so often in life, we look at what we have in our hands, and to be honest, it's not good enough. It's not what you actually would need. We don't have enough resources to do what God has called us to do. But you know, you can't choose what is in your hand. But you can always choose what is in your spirit. And what I love about Shamgar, he had just the right attitude to go into this. It's always a choice. You can always choose to have a great attitude. This made the huge difference. We so easily, we get there that we compare. Oh, this guy has this, this is this, this church has this. Da, 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 da. We look what they have in their hands. But successful people have actually more than just something great in their hands. They have something great in their spirit. They have the right attitude. I think this is why really Shamgar made it into, you know, it takes attitude to hit 600 times with a stick. That just seems not efficient enough to defeat an army. It really takes a great spirit. It takes diligence, persistence to say, this seems to be wrong, but maybe I can compensate this by just hitting 600 times. It's incredible. We so easily feel like, oh man, I start with an advantage. He started with an advantage. A disadvantage, what am I saying? Disadvantage. You got a fully armed arm in front of you. You got a stake in your hand. But diligence is a way to compensate what you don't have. You know, you saw the picture before of that church. When we felt called to go to Zurich to plant the church, I'm actually a trained primary school teacher. So I decided to take on a part-time job as a primary school teacher, just to really release us financially also into ministry. And I found this place. I wanted to teach right in the center of the city because I love the city life. And we wanted to have church right in the city. So I found this job as a primary school teacher. It looked perfectly. I could teach music, I could teach English, I could do all the stuff I really enjoyed. But there was one subject that was included in that load, which I had to take on. It was handicrafts. So if you know me a bit, I'm not the guy who usually knits in front of TV, but I had to do some of handicrafts every Wednesday morning. And I tell you, at that point, I decided this looks like the perfect job. It was well paid. I could have Fridays off, which was awesome. And it's right in the center of the city. I want this job. And I determined myself, I'm going to learn how to be a good handicrafts teacher. And I would go every Wednesday morning. I would get up at 5. I would be at school at 6:30. I would switch on the computer. I would go to YouTube, type in knitting, and I would be, for 1.5 hours before the kids came, I would try to knit and just learn it. And then when the kids came, man, I was the expert. Isn't it? You know, really, I couldn't do it, but I could learn it. It just took some diligence. You know what? It was actually very strategic because I wouldn't have got this job if I wouldn't have determined, I'm going to learn this. Because it happened that the church I showed you is 2 houses next to my school. Because I got into that school, I walked past that church. I realized that my former pastor, in the meantime, took on this church, which has gone through a terrible crash beforehand. I walk into the church. It's like a God encounter again with my old pastor. We get talking again. He invites us to have our church plant in his building doing Sunday night services. He continued with Sunday morning services. There was Easter, and we thought, let's do a combined service. And it was incredible. A couple of weeks later, it was Pentecost. That's a big public holiday in Switzerland. We did a Pentecost Sunday combined evening service. And we thought this would be crazy if we continued to have two separate things, because they were predominantly mature people, 45 years plus. They had their own building. They had the whole infrastructure. They had money, but no life. And our group was about 15 young people, full of life, full of enthusiasm, and no money, say like that. And we combine that whole thing, and it's just it's a miracle, actually, to bring two things like that. And so now we have this beautiful building, and that's where we pass. And you know, I would have missed that incredible opportunity if I would have just said, look, I can't do it. I'm wondering how easily we miss out some of God's purposes and opportunities that are in front of us just because we think, I can't do it, I don't have it. You can choose to do it. You can have it in your spirit. I love what it says in Proverbs 12, verse 24. Incredible scripture. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. My question is to you, why are you not ruling? Why are you not ruling in your job? I want to challenge us as churches, as the body of Christ, why are we not ruling? Because diligent hands rule, but lazy hands end up in forced labor. You know, it's like we're enslaved by the environment, by the conditions, by the resources we have. They dictate what we can do. That's being enslaved. But diligent hands rule. So my challenge to us is really, hey, are you prepared to compensate your insufficiency by being diligent? It's your choice. It really is only your choice, and no one can make that decision for you. Why are you not ruling? Number two, I reckon diligence is an amazing way to maximize your gift. Here's a question. Does it take more faith to consistently do small steps or to believe for the lucky punch? Sometimes it seems easier to believe for the miracle than to be the miracle. I tell you what, it takes less faith to pray for revival than to be the revival. We often have this expectation that God is just going to do something incredibly supernatural. And I've seen it, him doing it. We think like it's that lucky punch. We do one thing and it's just going to happen. I really want to encourage you with this message to believe that the ordinary can be pretty extraordinary. You know, it wasn't one strike and the army was killed. It took him 600 times. That wasn't very exciting. It would have been amazing if with one strike, man, the whole army flat down. This is how we pray. You know, we pray, man, God is going to boom, and then it's going to break through and everything with one strike. Oh, man. You know, Mother Teresa, incredible woman of faith. I tell you what, I've been to India, actually on my honeymoon. It was a mission trip because we planned the mission trip before we got the wedding, and the wedding just happened to be a week before the mission trip. So we had a great ministry during the day and great fun at night. I've been to India. I served the poorest of poor. You know what? I could do it. There's nothing special about the work that Mother Teresa did. The only difference is, I was really happy to leave again after a week. She did it for 45 years, day and night. She did something very ordinary with an extraordinary spirit. You know, if we get that, what is possible to maximize what God has entrusted us, we need more legends in the kingdom of God. In this church needs legends, not one-hit wonders. It's easy to hit once, and it's just going to happen. You know, like when I asked my wife for her hand, I put this amazing engagement day together. I actually picked her up in morning at 4 with a taxi. We went to the Eurostar to Paris. I planned this whole day with 13 stops, and there was always a piece of puzzle, and there was some sort. It was a card, and there were pictures, and a little red carpet, and the whole thing. And then at the end, it was a piece, a big puzzle, and there was a question and everything. It was an incredible day. I haven't heard of anyone doing a better engagement. You know what? But it doesn't guarantee that I'm going to have a great marriage, unfortunately. One hit. We had a great wedding day. Man, we had this reception on the River Thames in a boat. It was incredible. Unfortunately, it hasn't caused our marriage to be awesome just by that amazing wedding day. You know, it just takes one hit after another, one date after another. It takes flowers 1 week and again flowers. It takes chocolate and more chocolate and more chocolate to have a happy wife. It takes more conversations, more intimacy. And we're just not one-hit wonders. We know I came, when we were sent out from New Zealand to plant the church in Zurich, it was the most incredible send-off. It was at a Shout conference, 2,000 people in that conference center. The guest speaker was Russell Evans from Planet Shakers. He got me up on stage. He prophesied over me, and he had this amazing prophecy that where I'm going to go, there's no need for another church, but there is a need for a church on fire, and you're going to plant a church on fire. And it's not going to be a church for a city. It's not going to be a church for a nation. It's going to be a church for a continent. And I was like, whoa, incredible. And, you know, we were saying, oh, like, man, it's going to happen now. I'm going to get home. And, like, you know, first meeting, 7 people. I was like, yeah, man, from 0 to 7, awesome. second meeting, I expect, man, this is going to, and now we're going to hit it, man. 6 people. And, you know, and you should have seen, man, with the worship, I was like, full on worship. I thought, like, people were just having their hands in their pockets, man. And we had the first meeting with Pastor Mark Collard. You will have him next week. We've had him preaching. And, you know, there's like one couple. She was actually massaging her husband's feet during the message. This doesn't look like revival to me. God, I thought this is going to be amazing. Church on fire. Yeah, and he's going to break through. You know what? It doesn't take a one-hit wonder. It takes legends. I reckon Shamgar is a legend because he just didn't do that one hit. He had the courage, he had the endurance to hit again and again and again. I want to encourage you to do the ordinary, but with an extraordinary spirit. Mother Teresa did the ordinary. Don't wait till you get this amazing opportunity for ministry. You know what? It takes legend to serve every Sunday on sound, as hosts, on hospitality, and the worship team. Kids, these are legends because you do it every week. These are the awesome people. I think these are the movers and shakers within the kingdom of God. I would encourage you to do the ordinary with an extraordinary spirit. Can I go a bit deeper? I love what it says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. You know what? The gifts you've received, they are either good or perfect. That's a pretty good start, eh? Yeah. They've come down from the Father of lights. So what's come down is supposed to shine. What he has given you is supposed to shine. You with that gift are supposed to shine. That's his purpose. But it comes down, and you know what Jesus says, that you don't put on the light and hide it under a basket, but you put it up on the lampstand. Yeah. You know what? I reckon this is what diligence does. In terms of maximizing your gift, one thing you have to do all the time is just pick it up again. Put it on the landscape. In this situation, put it up on the landscape because it's come down. Put it up. Let it shine. Again, this Sunday, again. Hey, on Monday as well. You know what? On Tuesday as well. Shine. On Wednesday, again. On Thursday. On Friday. On Saturday. On Sunday. And on Sunday night, again. And this the next week. I reckon it takes diligence to shine. That promote what God has given you. This is the way you can maximize what God has entrusted you. Number one, I believe diligence is an incredible way, an amazing way to compensate your insufficiency. Number two, I reckon it's an incredible way to maximize your gifts. And number three, I believe it's an incredible way to facilitate breakthrough. I'm wondering, what would have happened if Shamgar would have decided to stop at 300? Man, I hit 300 times. I'm done. That was hard work. Actually, I've done pretty well. I've done well with a stick, 300 soldiers. I deserve a break, man. I go on holiday. I go back to my wife. It could kill me, this whole thing. What would have happened? His name wouldn't be there. The Israelites wouldn't have experienced victory. And you know what? Let me just tell you one thing. You are not called to make impact. You're called to facilitate breakthrough. We often pray, and we just decide to stop because we think we've done enough. Like, prayer is like hammering against the wall. And every prayer makes an impact. It cracks the wall. But who are you to decide to stop unless the wall has come down? Because we are people of breakthrough. And I reckon diligence is what is facilitating that. One hit after the other, another hit, and another hit. It's really hard to believe that the ordinary can bring forth supernatural, extraordinary results. If you boil water, you get it out of your tap, it's about 15 degrees. You put it on the hob, turn on the gas. Within seconds, it goes from 15 to 16 degrees. Then from 16 to 17 degrees. From 17 to 18 degrees. It goes on like from 57 to 58, 58, 59. It goes on like from 96 to 97. From 97 to 98. You know, nothing spectacular has happened. It just got 1 degree warmer all the time. From 98 to 99. And the same thing that happens now from 99 to 100 that happened before, it just gets 1 degree warmer. But you know what happens? Water evaporates. Water becomes steam. And steam moves the train. Where did the miracle happen? Something special happened from 99 to 100. But actually, the 57 to 58 was just as important as the 59 to 60. What would have happened if Shamgar would have decided, I had enough. Stop hitting with his stick. I got a picture of you for... can you put the tunnel? Yeah. You know, this is the Gotthard Tunnel. It connects Switzerland to the Italian part. It's 17 kilometers long. They worked for 15 years, day and night, to dig And on the 15th of October 2010, so pretty much 4 years ago, they broke through. And I reckon this is how the enemy works in our lives. He gets us working, but he keeps us in a dark tunnel. And sometimes you think, what is this for? This hit doesn't make a difference at all. You work another day. You believe another day. You step out in faith one more time. And you think, what is this for? And I believe many of us, and if I was the enemy, I would just keep us in that tunnel for a long time. And just a couple of days before you would break through, I would just get you to stop and start somewhere else. But because you thought this didn't work, so I start somewhere else believing. And you start right from the start, and it would take you another 15 years till you break through. And it's a great strategy just to keep us in the dark and never see the light breaking through. What does it take? Diligence is a great way to facilitate a breakthrough. Because this whole stuff can be so overwhelming. Literally, our little one, he's 9 months old at the moment. We're battling with him in prayer because he is physically not doing well. And it's overwhelming. And you think, man, it takes a huge miracle. It takes a huge miracle. But you know what I can do? I can do something that is possible. One prayer a day. I can do one hit after the other. If we would know what we're battling against, we would be just overwhelmed. But I love this whole diligence thing. When God gives you something you can hit, but please continue to do it. So just imagine, here we've got Shamgar. He's just sick that the Philistines have robbed his people for years. They've destroyed the crops. They've raped their women. They've just taken every hope. And at some point, he just said, I had enough. It's enough. And he got all the guys together, and they had, because they were farmers, man, they just had what they had, their ox goats. And you know, they were facing the Philistine army. And they knew something's going to change. And somehow they believed this could be the day. And I think he was facing the army. And I actually believe, it's not written in the Bible, I think he wet himself. I would. Because you're facing a fully faced army. It's overwhelming. I would be terrified. And I reckon at that moment, and now you got to listen well. At that moment, I think that was the Holy Spirit moment in this whole story. God was telling him, Shamgar, stop seeing an army. Stop seeing an army. Shamgar, just go for one soldier at a time. You see this guy there? He's small. He looks weak. He looks tired. And he's also got wet pants. If you got a chance, take him out. And instead of being overwhelmed by the army, I reckon Shamgar just realized, if I ever got a chance, I could do this one with this stick. So he went after his. He went after this small, weak, tired guy. And somehow, he got him down. And he thought, this works. So he was watching out. He found another one who was weak, tired, brown stain. I could do this guy. So he did it. Somehow, I don't know, don't ask me what he did with that stick. But somehow he managed to get down the first 200 men. They were all the weak, the small one, done. But now he was pretty confident. Like, man, if this works, it has worked with 200. Maybe there is a chance to go a little bit further. Maybe he had the faith to take on the medium guys. You know, a medium height. So he did it. Whatever he did, he was like 400 men down. He thought like, man, I can't give up now. It has worked so far. It's been a miracle so far. I tell you what, you're a miracle so far that you're still here. Yeah, yeah. You're still believing. It's a miracle. 200 people left. All the tall ones, the big guys, the strong ones. But in him, it's like, it worked for 400. I can do this. And whatever he did, you know, he... 599 guys down. There was one more left. It was just easy. 600 men down. Victory. A task that seemed totally impossible. Totally overwhelming. It just took a guy who believed that every hit counts. Every hit is significant. It took a guy who realized, I don't have something spectacular, but I can have a spectacular attitude in this, a spectacular faith for hitting this. I'm wondering how Shamgar would advise you if he looked into your life. You know, if he looked at your debt. And it can be overwhelming. How can I ever pay this off? I think he would just look at you and say, hey, can you do £20 a week? Save £20 somewhere a week. It just adds up. Maybe you're overwhelmed. You would love to buy a house. Could never do it. Shamgar, I guess he would say, how about saving that amount every week? Maybe you're overwhelmed and say, like, man, how can I ever save this marriage, this relationship? Maybe it's too big. But I guess he would just encourage you, do one date after another. Do one date after another. Maybe you want to be a missionary. Learn a language. It can be overwhelming. You feel the call of God. God has called you there. Overwhelming to learn a new language. I tell you what, maybe Shamgar would advise you just to learn 5 words a day. You'd be surprised what you can achieve. I want to finish with a story that has impacted my life more than the Bible college I did in New Zealand did. I know why I had to go to New Zealand, because of that one story. There was a lady called Sonia. I happened to be in that service when her husband made a decision to follow Christ. I happened to teach him for the baptism, like just explaining him what baptism is about. I happened to be at his baptism service. I happened to hear his testimony. And I was the guy crying in the front row. Like I hardly ever cried at church. Here we have an amazing testimony of a guy who got saved. For 12 years, his wife invited him to church. Because he loved her, he would come every now and then, every other month, to a service. Sit in the back row, sarcastically watching what's happening, and walk out again. I happened to be in that service where he put up his hand. I tell you what, it was not an exciting service. It was just a normal service. Just a service, like, I hope every Sunday somehow in service is exciting. But it was just nothing spectacular. It just happened to be another service. She invited him. And suddenly, breakthrough happened. 12 years, you know? If you count that, 12 times 52, about 600. Breakthrough happened. I reckon, you know, who's the legend in that story? Sonia. What an incredible wife. To believe for her husband for 12 years, after all the disappointment and rejection, to invite him again, to hit again and again and again, and then another time, and ask again, and do it one more time. 600 times is a long time. I don't know where your life is, but I believe we're all struggling with persistence. We're all challenged to believe for breakthrough, personally, but also corporately. I just want you to imagine that you are called Shamgar. I want you to literally imagine what it looks like to be the guy or the woman who has got something in their hands which is not that spectacular. Seems very ordinary. But how we decide to be extraordinary in your spirit and do that thing 600 times. What could happen? It's an incredible verse. After Ehud came Shamgar. He struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He, too, saved Israel. Flippin' heck. After Shamgar came Paul. He raised up 600 leaders. Guess what? He, too, saved the UK. Wow. After Pastor Paul came Andy. Is that right? Ian, sorry. He encouraged 600 young men to go hard for God. Guess what? He, too, saved the UK. Wherever you are, I want you to consider for a moment where you need to hit 600 times. And when you know it, I want you to make your first step. I don't want you to get up unless you're prepared. Either to pick that up where you stopped at 150 maybe, to pick that stick up again, or where you're going to start. And today is the first hit. I think we got to go, but I would love to pray for you.
Hallelujah. Okay, for 5 minutes, I think. What a great word, man.